Welcome along to the Short Ball, everybody. Scotty Stevenson and Mills Muliaina with you as we launch into season 2019. Yes, we're a week late, Millsy, but we needed to get some footy under our belt before we came back to talk serious code here on this podcast. Ellie Williams hopefully will be joining us, but...
Who's that?
He's supposed to be here at 10. It's quarter past 10.
Nah, so he's changed.
He hasn't texted. He hasn't told us where he is.
Nah, he's big time now. He's moved up. How dare he?
That's the problem. Are you good for tomorrow, Ellie? Yep, sweet. And then nothing. This is very typical. I can't wait to hear the excuse. We'll get into that later. Round one of Super Rugby. Millsy, you were down there on Friday in the Tron, back in your home patch. What was your major takeaway from that game? Forgetting the result for the time being, what about the quality of footy to open the season?
The quality for me was exceptional. I just, like, you know, when teams usually feel them their way through three or four rounds before they start sort of clicking, but the quality was outstanding in my view. There was a couple of times the ball went down, I thought, here comes the rust, and perhaps this is where it's going to get a little bit ugly. But really, and for me, really, it was the momentum swings. Like, I actually thought, you know, the Highlanders came out with a real bang. They missed an opportunity to try. They scored. Chiefs struck back straight away, and it was just continuous like that. Yeah, there was a bit of drama with the red card and whatnot, but also the finish, the way the Highlanders finished that off was exceptional. So for me, it was the quality and also the youngsters.
Yeah.
Every year, damn, there's some good players.
What interested me about the Highlanders this year versus last year and the year before, they did not kick as much as we would have expected them to kick. They were playing, and Tubby Madsen had talked about this last week on the podcast, the fact that the Chiefs were right up there in terms of attack teams, the Highlanders right up there in terms of defence teams. If you looked at the match stats, they shut the Chiefs down, shut the Chiefs' attack down. I think in large part that was probably partly when Brad Weber left the field.
Yeah.
Brad Weber's such a great organiser for that team. Stevie Donald having to go and play fullback probably came as a bit of a surprise to him, I'd imagine, as much as his payday fade came as a surprise to it. Did you talk to old Koro about that after the game?
Mate, he needs to give that hairdresser an absolute uppercut.
It's not right.
What was he thinking?
No, this is the problem. He's come back in. He's realised he's 20 years older than the next bloke there. And I reckon Shooter Stevenson put him up to that. He's come back in. Sean Stevenson said, mate, you got to get down with the lads. And he has taken that far too literally.
Oh, I tell you what, he needed some tan too. He probably should have did it about 3 or 4 weeks ago and then sat in the sun because, man, that was... That was playing up.
I thought it was the highlight of the game, actually. What did you make of the red card? Because standard practice in New Zealand rugby, we get one round of games and the referee cops the blame for most of the results.
At the time, I didn't think it was a red card. Mm. And I know, on the head, which is exactly what we're trying to protect players and that. But I just thought the consequence outweighed what had actually happened. Yellow card, definitely, or, you know, a lot of people saying penalty. I think yellow card probably was the way to go. It's an issue really we need to try and crack down on, because the tackling, you know, needs to be addressed. And I think when you go in like that, and there's different types of tackles, and I don't want to get too deep into it. That type of tackle there, you're trying to get shoulders on. So when you're learning how to tackle, and you know everything's about dominating that area, and it's about getting shoulders on. As soon as you get to a place where you're tackling with your arms or you're saying you're rap and stuff, your first point of contact is your shoulder, because you want to get a shoulder and then rap.
Look, I agree with that. Okay, if you're sitting here right now, when you talk about shoulders on, right, just show me, because we're on camera, where are your arms in that process?
Yeah, they're sort of out here.
Yeah, okay. You go back and look at that replay, CEO looks like he's about to take off in a Superman jump. This is the problem that I have with, I'm not saying that I'm 100% behind the red card. Actually, I am saying I'm 100% behind the red card, and here's why. CEO's got form when it comes to tackling that way. We all know that because we've all seen it. We love it when he gets it right, because I don't think there's a midfielder in New Zealand who puts on a bigger shot than CEO Tomkinson. But the fact is, referees become aware of a pattern of behaviour with players. They have to, because they do their research like anyone else in the game. There were no arms in that tackle, none at all. And it matters not a jot that Brodie Retallack was ducking into the tackle. Of course he's ducking into the tackle, he's trying to bump a guy off. But as soon as you take your arms out of play and you make contact with the head, that is against everything that World Rugby is trying to clean up about the game. So you put yourself in that position, then it doesn't really matter because you've given the referee no choice as far as I'm concerned. That's the problem. We've got to stop looking at the referee's call on what colour card it was and start saying, why is this tackle technique not right when they are in a professional environment that surely still teaches tackling?
Yeah, and I suppose that's where I'm saying, like, we need to clarify what the actual tackle is, because you say that, and I do look at it a little bit different where he's flying into like that. But what you get taught is you come through and you're actually trying to bring that arm through with power.
Sure.
And actually punch through. Punch through, so then your shoulders coming up. Now, yes, okay, because he's come in like that, and the first point is his shoulder, he's not going to then bring his arms around. So there's a clarification on that, okay, and that is an area where it's just beside the ruck where you're going to often get tackles like that. And so you say to yourself, okay, in this scenario, surely the referees are saying, okay, round the ruck area, you're going to get those sort of tackles. Okay, if it ends up like that where his arms are back there, then it's a red card offence. Different when you're at the back. You know, when I'm at the back and someone's broken through, I'm not looking to make dominant tackles. I'm looking to actually try and get anything on as much as I can. So there's a different scenario as well. And then you come back to that breakdown as well. If you're not getting shoulders on, you're bringing around a swinging arm and you hit someone like that, then perhaps they need to clarify that, you know, different sort of positions that these guys are actually getting themselves into. So then everyone knows what's going on. And at the moment, I think we spoke about it last year too, we've now gone round one and all of a sudden there's a couple of things that have come up, but no one has actually come out and, well, not that I've heard from a refereeing's point of view, and said, well, Glenn Jackson did actually get it right and this is why he got it right, or this is why he perhaps didn't get it wrong.
Yeah, look, we're going to try and get Lyndon Bray on the short ball in the coming weeks just to have a look at that, and we're heading into round two, of course, so if there are any other controversial issues, because I 100% agree with you on that point. This was a round in which there were two penalty tries. There were accusations of bias against Nick Bryan at Eden Park in the Blues Crusaders game. Glenn Jackson had to give that, or felt he had to give that red card in the Chiefs game. When you have controversial issues like this, even if from a refereeing perspective you think it's black and white, why is there an argument here? Go and learn your law book. Surely when you start hearing there's chatter from the fans, and chatter along the lines of, this is why I don't watch rugby anymore. Yeah, this has got ridiculous. What game are we watching? Okay, some of those comments might be a little buff-headed for the modern social mores, but the fact is that means there's confusion. And surely it is the refereeing team's job to take the confusion out of the game. Yeah. It is a complex game. We get that. But if you are happy to let these issues be discussed for a week after the game has finished, then I think you're in dereliction of your duty to the game, which is to uphold the laws of the game. Part of that has got to be educational.
Yep.
Referees have no problem coaching a rugby team through 80 minutes of rugby.
Yep.
And as I've written before for Rugby Pass, then we get silence.
Yep.
That has got to stop, because we've got a game which is plagued by people who don't, because they might be casual fans, who just don't get the intricacies of the game. And some of us don't get some of the decisions made, and we do this for a living.
What it does also, and this is why I was so disappointed at the end of the game, that I knew exactly what everyone was going to be talking about. You know, it was such a great game, but all of a sudden that's put to the side while we speak about this one incident. Now, let's just say, for example, they came out and said, this is why the law is this, and this why it was a red card. Mm. All of a sudden, you've got something to go back on. You know, you have the discussion. Everyone's going to have their opinion. I might be wrong, but there's been thousands of people that have their opinion on it. But you've always got something to go back and say, well, hold on a sec. The referees have come out straight after the game or 48 hours after the game and said, this is why that was done, or perhaps got it wrong. And then you've always got something to refer back to. At the moment, everyone's opinion is all over the place, whether it's right or wrong, because there's nothing that's been stated as to why that happened.
Yeah, and it's an ongoing issue for me, because I just don't think it's that much of an ask for someone to be a spokesperson for the referees and to look at five calls that were made on the weekend that maybe have led to some confusion in the fan base or through the market and say, this is why these decisions were made. We think it's correct according to this law, or we think on this occasion we got that one wrong. Mm. So we will look to clarify that in the coming weeks. Yeah. Just own it.
Just own it. Because it sucks. Because the rest of the stuff was awesome. I thought the referees done a fantastic job. But unfortunately, we're sitting here talking about these issues, which is... It's a shame.
Yeah, we should be talking about Baylen Sullivan. We should be talking about Etienne Nanaisaturu. We should be talking about Tamua Manu. These players, Atata Moeakiola, these players all on debut for the Chiefs. Yep. I thought that young backline, guided predominantly by Anton Leonard-Brown, who was sensational. Mate. That gives me a lot of hope for the Chiefs. They look raw, and I'm not entirely sure the Chiefs are going to find that sixth gear this year, especially the way they crumpled in the back half of that game, because they still seem to me to rely on some pretty key players. But Damien McKenzie to come back is a pretty good player to come back. But I was really impressed with Auburn Ledger's involvement in the game, playing 10.
I know.
You know, that's a massive achievement for him. And then the names just listed. Tumbai Madsen has some genuine talent at his disposal this year, for sure.
Yeah, and you're right. Those guys there are exceptional, and they are going to be the future of Chiefs mana. The one thing that I've sort of got with the Chiefs at the moment, one concern really, and it's probably a big one, is like the guy that stepped up, Anton Leonard stepped up, because you know he's at that age now where he's had that experience and whatnot. Damien McKenzie was out. You lose those two guys out of your back line, and then, you know, like your captain, Brodie Retallick, and the experiences. Nathan Harris stepped up.
Yeah, I think
really,
he's great.
They're really short of that out-and-out experience that they actually need to sort of and you got to remember, they had a massive injury toll last year as well. So
yeah, they did.
And we're only talking two or three guys. You lose a couple of those guys and, you know, I think they'll be struggling.
Well, they'll lose Brad Weber this week. I suspect he won't play because of a head knock in round one, but... Look, there's some hope there for the Chiefs, but you know, I take the other side of that, and the Highlanders, who are hosting the Reds this weekend at Forsyth Bar, I can't see them losing that game. That is an absolute scene-setter win for the Highlanders. And I was watching that game at home, Milsey, you were there live, and I thought to myself, when they got in front, and this happens very rarely, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how is this even possible?
Yeah.
How are they leading this game?
Yeah.
I had the pleasure to speak to Aaron Major afterward. He said he was so proud of that effort for what those boys did to come back. And, bringing on Aaron Smith, great to see him back and having an involvement, a genuine involvement in the win. But they're just nuggety, no pun intended.
Yeah.
They will find a way, that team.
And they didn't have much territory possession. It was really, once that happened where Weber went off, the 57th or 8th minute, I noted that down because he was starting to, you know, make things happen, and it really sort of halted the Chiefs' momentum. But it was the youngsters. You're right. It was almost like, how are these guys, you know, still in the fight, and then all of a sudden go ahead? You know, Ioannes, you know, Josh Ioannes, you know, he just did his role for someone that was, you know, very young, you know, nudged the corners. You know, got his pack going. Putty Parkinson, Lomax, all those guys stepping up. Guys with little experience, but they just seem to just soak it all up. Even to that last, you know, when they came back and scored those last couple of tries. Oh, I mean, Frizzell was fantastic when he came on as well. But it was just they are nuggety, but in a very positive way, that they have the self-belief that they know what they're doing and the direction that they have. And obviously it comes from the coaching staff and Aaron Major and co, that, you know, they're just out-and-out belief that they can do what's needed to be done to win a game. And the way they finished that off was exceptional.
The one thing about that game that signaled to me very clearly is that there's already been a little bit of grinding of the teeth about the future of the All Blacks post Rugby World Cup
already?
2020-2021. We know a lot of those senior players are going, but some of those names we just listed. This is the talent conveyor belt in New Zealand. And then you went to Eden Park and you look at the likes of Tom Robinson, I thought had a great game at Eden Park. Braden Ennor was inarguably sensational for the Crusaders. David Harvilli, I think, found a little bit of himself again in that game. George Bridge, who we know what he can do. So when you start to look around the next generation of players, I maintain that you cannot win a Super Rugby competition based on youth and youth alone. You have got to augment that with some very calm heads. And, you know, I think we saw that with the Highlanders-Chiefs game. I think we saw that with the Crusaders-Blues game as well. You've got to have that winning experience on your side. But I'm genuinely excited after one round, seeing the future 3 years down the track, 2 years down the track, of what New Zealand rugby players will be able to offer.
Oh, it's crazy, and that's what excites me as well. The fact that you just had one round, and I'm stoked that it was like derbies, you know, because it was just the display was fantastic. And you're right, it does, I suppose, in some way, you know, put guys out there that are going to be there for the future. And it is. We have got a real. The talent in New Zealand is fantastic. I mean, you're talking about Enor and Ko Haveli's, you know, he hasn't been around that long, but they have had, you know, some quality experience, which is great then. But you're absolutely right. I agree with you there that you can't win a title without, you know, some, experience. And you look at the Crusaders.
Yeah.
Man, how do you lose a prop and then...
Yeah, but I mean, this is the thing about the Crusaders. Look at their bench alone last week. Fennell,
yeah.
Perry, Alalatoa, Romano, Sanders, Drummond, Hunt and Jordan. I mean, what a bench. Oh, that's ludicrous. Although in saying that, when you got two Nukuafi Moulds and Tuonga Fasi coming off the bench for the Blues, they probably could have done better. I want to talk about the Blues. They've got a big challenge this week against the Sharks team that ran rampant last weekend in their opener against the Moondogs. you know, after the game, Scotty Robertson said, you know, they've improved. And even just watching them, you could sense that there was genuine clarity in what they were trying to do right up until it came down to a potential match-winning play. I know there have been some comments made about the refereeing of that game and how the rub of the green goes to the Crusaders. Yeah, you know what, it does. And you know why it does? Is because they're really good at it.
Yeah.
And they really understand how to play the lines in this game. And every single one of them understands that. And that makes it very hard for a referee when 15 blokes are all on the same page and he's trying to figure out what's going on. It's very easy to get pinged by a referee when it's one or two getting out of line and doing dumb shit. Here's the thing, right, with the Blues. Yes, they've improved. And it's not going to be the structure of their game that costs them this year. It is going to be the mental challenge of thinking of themselves as winners. And it was so patently obvious to me that all the athletes in the world in that team, of which there are many, are not going to get the results they are capable of until they can flick that switch in the club that says, we are no longer second. We do not come second anymore. We win these games.
Yeah.
I think this game in South Africa is fundamentally crucial to their entire season. Put last week aside, they could have won. Perfect, they didn't. They came second. They came second to a team that's lost 3 games in 2 years.
Yeah,
no shame in that.
No, none.
But they've got to go to South Africa now in tough conditions, middle of summer in Durban, and get a win.
Yeah.
They just have to.
They have to. It is. Everything's there. Everything is there for the Blues. And it's just that mental, when pressure starts to be applied, and it showed, and I think they've come a long way. Don't get me wrong, they've come a hell of a long way. But it's that discipline, that real discipline to say, okay, the pressure's on. It's not about myself being able to do it. And that's sort of what's happened. They might not admit it. Guys want to step up, and I like the fact that they do. They want to take on their responsibility, but it's often in all different areas. You know, they're going in different directions. They need to be able to have that discipline. I'm hoping to see that discipline come together. Against the Crusaders, they're fantastic, and it's given a lot of people hope. The one thing that they can't go now and do is think, that's it. You know, everyone thinks that we're a chance this year.
Yeah.
This game here, for me, is the most important game of the season, because they go over to Durban, they come together, you know, hopefully have the learnings from last weekend. Because you think of, okay, there's two penalty tries, a cross kick that was, you know, that Collins perhaps should have been, you know, he'd been disappointed with that because he probably should have been in better position, you know, and all of a sudden you're in the game. But you go over to the Sharks, into the Tank, and you win over there, and it's such a hard thing to do. and come together. Then you go over to Jaguares and you come back home to the Sunwolves. And I tell you what, they get those three games.
Yeah, you go three on the bounce.
Yeah.
You know, I looked at the match stats out of that game. When was the last time a Crusaders team was kept under 250 running metres?
Yeah.
When can you remember a Crusaders team that was on a leash that badly in a game of Super Rugby? I can't. Not in the last couple of years.
And what were the, I think the Blues were about, 1,000 or 1,200 yeah. or something, wasn't it?
No, the Blues went for almost 500 running metres in that game. Look, there's no doubt for me, all things being equal, the Blues should have won that game. Okay, but the shoulders are irrelevant because the missing piece of the puzzle is going away and having that self-belief. But, you know, what's great for Leo McDonald, Tom Coventry, Tana Umanga after that game is that they could have said to their guys, it works.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and the players could look at the review and go, yeah, actually, it does work.
Yeah.
This wasn't a case of nothing's working out there, we're getting beat.
Yeah.
This is a case of, yeah, that absolutely works. Yeah. Now if we can find that last 2%, we're away. And that's got to be exciting for the boys.
Mate, you need to be in there. You need to be in there telling
I'm firing them up.
You're getting me excited.
I know, I can tell. It was a tough week for your two former clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Which one are you going for this year, by the way? We haven't got that elephant in the room out of the way.
Well, I'm going for the Blues this year. I was going for the Blues last year.
I've heard
too.
That before.
perhaps I should go for the Chiefs.
What about the Hurricanes getting back, coming back from a 1-point victory over the Waratahs in a sandpit at Brookvale Oval? I can't believe they won that game, by the way.
Yeah.
But hey, all power to them. Same sort of thing. Winners win games. They're going to head down to AMI Stadium this week to take on the Crusaders. The talk this week is that Beauden Barrett's going to put himself up for selection a week back from his honeymoon. And if you follow Beauden Barrett's wife Hannah on Instagram, you pretty much saw every detail of that honeymoon, barring the sort of stuff between lights out and dawn. But well, I mean, Hannah loves an Instagram post. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, there was barely a scene that wasn't captured for public posterity.
Serious?
Oh yeah. Well, no, in saying that, there were probably lots of scenes that weren't captured for public posterity. But I mean, we got the gist that they had a great time. Now, the All Blacks don't want Beauden Barrett to play this weekend.
Oh, I think it's a bit early, don't you? I mean,
yeah.
Like, he's only come back for a week. And I think he's smart enough to know that, too. Perhaps, you know, maybe on the bench, mm-hmm. things like that. But I wouldn't imagine him being out there this early. It's not really a. Well, I wouldn't have him out there. If I was the coach, I wouldn't have him out there.
You wouldn't help him. You wouldn't have him out there because it won't help the Hurricanes, or you wouldn't have him out there because it won't help Beauden Barrett.
I think perhaps Bowden's. You know, I don't. He's just come back from his honeymoon. He's had a weekend of training, getting you know used to these guys that were been busting their balls since October.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want to put that pressure on him. It's a long season ahead, so I mean it's easy to say if I was you know because I'm not the coach, but I wouldn't have him out there for both.
Yeah,
for both club and country.
Has Uncle Foster been talking to you? Has he?
No,
he hasn't. Has he told you to say that?
No. Well, you obviously think you should be out there, right?
Yeah, happy days.
I think from a physical point of view, he's probably not even ready.
Well. Okay, you're a full-time professional athlete, and you go away. We know you, and mate, enjoy your honeymoon, enjoy your holiday. But I mean, you can't tell me he hasn't got a base level of fitness to play 20 minutes of a Super Rugby game, has he?
20 minutes, yeah, perhaps 20 minutes, yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but here's the thing: what if it comes down to what Tina's telling you to do something? Lift your mic up.
There we go. How's
what if that? It comes down to the wire, the Hurricanes are in the hunt, he gets subbed in, or what if you're on the bench and Fletcher Smith goes down 5 minutes into the game, you've got to play 75. I mean, that's the risk of putting him on the bench.
That is. That's, yeah.
So
you say put him on,
well, you can't put you can't put anyone on a bench who's not capable of playing 80 minutes.
Yeah.
Not in a professional environment, right?
No.
Because we've seen it before. We saw it with Crocky in his 200th. You know, he's down to play 20 minutes, he gets 76.
Yeah.
That's the reality of the situation. So if he's on the bench, he's got to be playing.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Prepared
I think they would have had a plan before his honeymoon to say, well, in round three, this is where you're going to be coming back and, you know, being available with that from a physical point of view. You need to be playing, you know, mentally as well, that you need to know that you're playing 80 minutes. I don't think, I think when you come back a week out and say, oh, hold on a sec, you know, all of a sudden your planning's gone out the door. So whether, hey, I could be wrong. He could have been on that honeymoon and when the lights went off, he could have been out bloody doing some Broncos.
Oh, no, I saw lots of exercise clips on Instagram.
Well, yeah. Maybe he's ready.
There were lots of exercise clips.
Hey, not the ones.
No, don't bring him. Don't, mate, that's not fair to talk about that. Hey. I mean, on like, what hey. Bikes and things?
Oh, what bikes? Oh, yeah.
I mean, exercising on white bikes, yeah. Not doing anything else on a white bike.
Not riding on white bike.
We've really got to move on from this conversation. We haven't even touched on the topic du jour, Julian Savia in Toulon. I'd had a radio chat on Monday about this, about Mourad Boujalel, and obviously there are varying opinions on this.
Where do you sit on this?
I'm going to tell you where I sit on it. I think it's absolutely disgraceful.
Why did you hesitate?
Because I was trying to find the word without swearing. Yeah. That I don't care how much money you have. Do you know the joy of this game is that money shouldn't be central to it? Mm. And in this avaricious world we live in professional sport, Mourad Boujalel to me stands as the totemic figure of all that is possibly going wrong with rugby. And the sooner his entire enterprise falls over,
comic books,
the
hey?
Better.
Yeah.
Not as comic books. He can sell as many comics as he like, but he can just piss off and get out of rugby.
Yeah,
his comments are destructive for the game. I hope that the Julian Savia comments and now the Rhys Webb incident as well, where Mourad Boujalel has made it clear that he's welcome to leave. I hope that any player worth their salt in the game will rebuke any offer made to them by Toulon. I'm sure there are agents who would listen to this and go, hey, whoa, there's money involved here. Nah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Julian Savia is an imperfect man. We know he had his issues here with the All Blacks. We know he had his issues here with the Hurricanes. Do you know why? Because he's a 28-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And they're not the finished product. And to go out there and to say the things that the guy Ponybills is saying about him, and then to defend those comments, as some people have, then I'm afraid you don't get what this game is about. And if you think, as the owner of a professional rugby club, that buying a winger is going to win you a title, then you actually know zero about rugby union, and I question your place in the sport. And I'm sorry, I don't give a shit about Mourad Boujalel, whatever. I don't care about Toulon. I have no connection to this club. What I care about is the spirit of a game that needs to be cherished. And everything that has happened this week in Toulon goes against the very spirit of the game I love. And that's what gets me.
Damn straight. Damn straight.
Is that all right? Can I say
mate,
that?
I'll tell you, I'm absolutely disgusted. About okay, forget the. I don't even know why Julian chooses to stay. Yeah, I know he's a proud man. And
well, he's
like,
staying because so his lawyers can figure out how on earth they're going to
exactly
get some recompense.
Get out of there, because I'll tell you what. I've heard also that all of a sudden he just stops paying you.
Look, yeah. Again, you're allowed to criticise players who show a lack of form, right? We all do it. We're in the media. You can say, hey, that wasn't very good of him, but. You know, there's just a point in the game where I think we can expect a bit of class.
Mm.
I think we should expect a bit of class. And if I put those same comments on a player and a player came out and said that about their coach or their owner, they would be pilloried. Their careers would be done. But here's a guy, because he's worth some cash, who thinks he can say whatever he likes. Now, we know what he's like. Anyone who's followed European rugby for any period of time knows Mourad Boujalel. He is what he is. Mm. And as Gregor Paul pointed out in the New Zealand Herald today, why is anyone surprised? But, you know, the point is, at what point does the Rugby Players Association come out, the International Players Association say, this is unacceptable? At what point do the agents all come out and say, this is unacceptable? At what point do the other owners say this is unacceptable? At what point does French rugby, which has no jurisdiction over this competition, more shameful, what time do they come out and say this is not how we do things? Or is this a new reality that we're about to enter in rugby?
Well, that's what I'm beginning to wonder, because at the end of the day, okay, we can all talk about it now, but until someone does something about it, whether everyone sort of, you know, boycotts it, I'm talking the agents and everything else, he's just going to keep going, because I can see this just going out for another week or so, and then all, you know, he might leave, but everything will start rolling around again when he starts negotiating with agents and
Oh, well, dollars talk.
Mate. Yeah, exactly. But it's not going to go away. He's just going to keep doing what he's doing because he's the owner, right? No one cares after another month or so. We'll just be in the back burner again until something else happens.
Right, look, it couldn't have been a better result for New Zealand rugby.
Yeah, exactly.
They haven't had to do a thing, exactly. And suddenly every rugby player in this country is going, "Whoa, maybe it's not so good up there."
Well, that's what people don't realize. You've got to
be there.
Oh man, you've got everything's different. There's like when they're privately owned, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get guys that are owners that are going to say, "Well, you don't perform. I'm going to be outspoken. I'm not going to pay you, and you can basically beat it." Even the stuff that I agreed to, so you can go to your wedding, what we agreed to before the terms were signed off, but when you come back, I'm going to diss the crap out of you as to why you went. Well, hold on. Just
publicly roast you. I know players get dropped. They fall out of form. Coaches get frustrated. You know, they have a game that hasn't been up to scratch, and you can say publicly, you know, as a media, you can talk about that. But there's a way to do it, right?
Oh,
I guess that's the point I'm making. There's a way to do this. And that's not the – this is a – it's a shit show.
Oh, mate.
It's
diabolical. That's what it is. Don't go overseas. No, don't even go near the Riviera or wherever the hell they are.
Do go. Help yourself. Just, you know, all that glitters is not gold. That's all I'm saying. Let's go through some picks, Millsy, before we wrap this up. Highlanders against the Reds. Bretons return home.
Hard not to go past the Highlanders.
It certainly is.
Really inexperienced in the Reds side as well. It's the Highlanders for me, and especially that bloody ground. It's hard to win there, isn't it?
Taniela Tupu's come in for a bit of specific comment from some of the Highlanders. Do you reckon someone's going to try and put him in the ground?
Spice things up a little bit, isn't he?
Love a bit of one-on-one matchup. The Doggies are taking on the Tars. The Waratahs will have to bounce back from that shambles at Brookvale. Even though it's at Sunwolves in Tokyo, I can't see the Tars losing that one.
Surely not.
No, they're flat track bullies, the Waratahs. They'll have a crack. Crusaders Canes, game of the round for me. You're going Crusaders.
Oh, of course.
Straight up.
Razor Ray didn't sign 2 years for nothing.
Has he signed 2 years? Is he really? Has he got an out clause in there?
Perhaps. All black clause?
Guarantee he's got an out clause in there.
Yeah.
Brumbies feet, Chiefs. This is a tough game for the Chiefs. I don't think the Brumbies were special, but then I haven't thought the Brumbies were special for the last, I don't know, 15 years. But even so, niggly game for the Chiefs. Niggly.
It is. It's a real niggly. I mean, and it's over there too, isn't it?
Mm.
Oh.
I mean, Canberra and Hamilton got a lot in common, but even so. Flat.
Very, very, very flat.
Canberra's got a lake, apparently. I've never been.
Never been to Canberra?
No. Well, why would I go to Canberra? Like, if you said, let's go for a trip to Australia, at what point does Canberra come in on the list of destinations?
It's man-made. It's the capital.
Well, hang on. I mean, you're going to go, well, let's go through the list.
Isn't it man-made?
Come for a trip to Australia, I'm going to throw Melbourne, I'm going to throw Sydney, I'm going to throw Brizzy, I'm going to throw Port Douglas, I'm going to throw Cairns, I'm going to throw Darwin, I'm going to throw Perth, Fremantle, I'm going to throw Adelaide in there, Coober Pedy, Broken Hill, Alice Springs, Launceston. Canberra's coming in not even top 10 for me.
Yeah, you're right, mate.
No offence to Canberrans. It's just maybe I just need to do a bit more investigation into the joys of Canberra.
Nah, wouldn't go. That 2 or 3 hour bus trip from Sydney to Canberra, terrible. Okay.
Are the Chiefs winning this or what?
I think they do.
Okay, I'll tell you what I want to see in this Chiefs game, Millsy. Te Toro Tahuriorangi needs to have a game.
Yeah.
Because he is going to become under increasing pressure to retain that number 3 spot in the All Blacks.
Mm.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Aaron Smith and TJ Perenara are your 1 and 2.
Yep.
They need a third. And at the moment, I mean, he hasn't started a Super Rugby game since May.
That's what I was going to say.
Last year, May.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't get much game time. He didn't get much game time at all either, did he? So,
mm-mm.
And then he's, you know, obviously been picked up with the All Blacks. So he does. I think this is his perfect opportunity for him to really step up and show what he's... Oh, I think he's a very talented player, but it's his opportunity now with Webby being out that he needs to really shine.
Sharks taking on the Blues. I think the Blues can sneak this one.
I reckon too.
I think that.
Yeah, I think...
Here we go. I can't believe I said that. I'm out.
Hey!
I'm out.
Hey!
You're out. A believer, mate.
I'm out.
You're a believer. No, you're not.
I'm gone.
Get back here. Get back here. You're not out. The Blues are going to do this. They're going to go on tour. They're going to come back. And you know what? They'll win those three games. But the Sharks, yeah. That's a tough ask.
Okay, well, you've said it now. How terrible were the Stormers against the Bulls? How terrible was that rugby team?
Well, how good was the Bulls, though?
The Bulls were great. Speckmon.
Oh, man.
Did you see that?
How does someone see that run try? Like that with his hair going all over? He's got beads in there or something?
100%. He's covered in spiders. No one could tackle him. Roscoe Speckmon. How good to see him. Lions will crush him.
Yeah.
Surely.
Can I just say, South Africa, you really got to compliment them on how they've sort of transformed those sevens players into the 15s and transitioned them.
Yeah,
I mean, Speckmon's another example of what they've done. So it's fantastic. Going, are they in Ellis Park?
No, they're at Newlands.
Yeah, that's Speckmon.
Lions?
Yeah, Lions for Speckmon. Big time.
And finally, the Hawks. Taking on the Bulls. How are these?
Last year they won a few over there.
Yeah, they won at home. They won a few here. Remember they came out.
They came
out the Chiefs.
Five or so in a row. Yeah,
they went on a tear.
I don't know.
No, it's just another one of those seasons for the Warriors. The Bulls should pump them. I like the Bulls. I really do.
I like the way they've actually. They know how they're going to play this game now. Last year they just took so long to sort of figure out how they're going to play, where they're going to kick, where they're going to run. It was just Pollard for me. Mate, ears are looking in good nick.
So they finally looked a couple of hours down the motorway and seen what the Lions are doing in Johannesburg and said, yeah. I mean, this is a team that last won a title with the likes of Habana running around the show, creating merry havoc. I mean, there's a team that can play running footy.
True.
They were so good last week. Love the Bulls. Now, is there anything else on your mind in rugby this week we need to cover off today?
Oh, no, nothing really. We're still waiting on Ali Williams, aren't we?
He should be here soon. It's been really good. I've really enjoyed this chat today, actually. This is probably the best chat he's had.
Mate, that is.
Do you enjoy it?
I saw that? Mate, couldn't fault you on that, man. I tell you what, Worms, hell of a job, mate.
Great
job.
Keep it up, Ali. Great to have you on the short ball today. We'll see if we can get Ali back next week, because if he's going to be as excitable and as animated as he's been today.
We can have him back next week, mate. You've done a great job. Yeah. Keep it up, brother.
It's the best version of Ali Williams I've ever seen, and this has been Scotty and Mills on the short ball, and it's great to have your company for another season. Make sure you check out all the Super Rugby action this weekend on rugbypass.com.